And we're going to look at a verse together, and actually we're going to look at three verses. Turn to Proverbs 23, and then if you'll prepare or hold your place in Proverbs chapter 26, we're going to look at three different verses that have to do with the same topic tonight. I want to speak to you with a message I've entitled, To Speak or Not to Speak to Fools. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 9, Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. And then if you'll go over to chapter 26, verses 4 and 5, I believe these two are linked. And this is a verse that for, decades perhaps, has puzzled me. And then I got some references in the Old Testament that I'm going to share with you. I think it'll help you understand it. You ever heard of this verse? Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And then the very next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I've been a fool to not try to dig into this deeper, but we would be foolish to think that the Bible contradicts itself because it's God's word. So we obviously can't do that. He wouldn't be God, and it certainly wouldn't be God's word if that's the case. I don't think they contradict. Rather, I think they complement each other. If you read them again, the Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. And the answer is found in the second half. The verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly. And then notice, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So we're going to look at these verses tonight. Father, we sure love you and we thank you for the word of God. I thank you for its power. I thank you that you have preserved it for us and for me to stand on. I thank you that we can put our entire trust and hope in it. And God, that not one word of it is any more or less important or any more relevant to our life. I thank you for this passage of Scripture, what it's meant to me today even. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom as we rightly divide it. I pray that you'd help me. I ask that you'd help me to be emptied of anything that would hinder your Holy Spirit's using me tonight. Anything vain, anything deceitful, anything self-sufficient, I yield myself to you and I ask that you would just use me as a vessel. Teach through me this lesson. Help me, Lord, to take this truth and help it to be understood in a right way for your people. Lord, we're your church. We ask that you take us and prepare us for tomorrow, that our Wednesday would affect our Thursday and Friday. And as we go into the weekend, that we would be prepared as we prepared going to church as we would prepare to go to the Super Bowl, or that we would go to see our relatives. Lord, I pray that you'd affect our hearts, and I pray that our eye, what it sees tonight in the Word of God, would affect our heart greatly, which would eventually affect our life if we allow it. I pray that you'd bless our time. Be with the teens. I pray that you'd be with Brother Lee and fill him with your Spirit and use him to encourage them as well. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing what we've learned from the Bible about those people God designates as fools, here we discover the mystery about how to deal with them in a specific way. The Bible teaches us that wisdom is the principal thing to possess in life, far more valuable than wealth. For in the obtaining of it, the Bible tells us that we would be granted discernment. You may remember that back in Proverbs chapter 2. Now, discernment is that spirit-led ability to distinguish truth from falsehood. It's the spirit-led ability to perceiving differences of things and their relations and their tendencies. The result of wisdom, according to Proverbs chapter 2, is that we would have that discernment. Now, the subject of our text is one that is the fool, according to the Bible, who in the Word of God is contrasted with the wise. The fool first is a person who acts without counsel. We know this. I'm just going to review it for us. And is indiscreet, is hot-tempered, is ignorant and purposely so toward the truth that would affect him, indolent in many ways, thick-headed, and according to Scripture, is proud. He is easily led astray. He rehearses his own folly of habitual besetting sin, and many times, like a dog, returns to his vomit to that besetting sin, according to Scripture. Ruin, according to Proverbs 10, is his end. If he is capable of learning, it comes only through chastening. The cords are for the back of a fool, the scourging through brutish chastening, according to the Bible. The fool is the deliberate sinner who persists in his own way, evil, lying, slandering, and enjoying the pet sin like sport. the Bible says, as mischievous sport to him. He refuses to obey God. A fool confides in others rather than in God. The fool has his own way, wants his old way, and skillfully defends it. He opposes the truth and despises wisdom and instruction. Now, all that I have just given you is all verses that we have looked at from the very beginning, characterizing and taking some from Ecclesiastes, some from Psalms, and saying, okay, this is all that we know about, and that characterizes the subject of these texts, and that is the fool. Despise wisdom and destruction. No matter how wise it is, he negates the value of it by thinking he doesn't need it, and I don't need to engage in this conversation. And then on the other hand, you have this fool in Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5, that is, as the Bible describes him, a prating fool. He wants to speak what he is saying, and only when he wants to address it. And when he is, the Bible says one of two things: either answer him or don't answer him. And so you obviously need discernment to know that. And so in your lifetime, chances are you're going to run into a fool. And maybe you already have. They may not exhibit all of these characteristics together, but their speech and actions are going to betray them. And by God's word of wisdom, you will know whether or not you should or should not speak to their foolishness. Proverbs 23:9, our beginning text, if you'll go back there and read it with me, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Now, this is just going to someone and trying to interdict. This is someone who obviously has a care for the direction of this individual, and yet when you're trying to speak wisdom to them, the Bible says that he will despise that because of his heart. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Now, by the way, we don't really have any wisdom in and of ourselves to give people, but we do have the Word of God, and that is the only true mark of wisdom. It's not, let me have a clever saying, or let me try to come up with something quippical, or something that's a little more understandable. I think if God wanted the Word of God more understandable, He'd have written it in a more understandable way. But He wrote it so that we could understand the way He wrote it and what He means from His heart, not trying to understand our heart. And so when we take the wisdom of God's Word and we try to give it to someone who's given to their own pleasure and their own way of life, then according to the Bible, they will despise the wisdom of thy words. It reminds us that to try to teach a fool is like casting pearls before swine, as Jesus said. In other words, it's a waste of time. I like what Matthew Henry said about this. He said, and I quote, "It is our duty to take all fit occasions to speak of divine things." And I think that's true. I think we all should take every fit opportunity. He said, but there are some that will make a jest of everything that you say, though it be ever so prudent and pertinently spoken, that will not only despise a wise man's word, but despise even the wisdom of them. And so a fool is not necessarily, as we know from the definition of the fool in the Bible, who's constantly in folly, is not interested in wisdom. It's not interested in instruction. Knowing that a fool then will despise wisdom and instruction, according to the Bible in Proverbs 1, we also know that a fool will rage, and a fool with his mouth will pour out foolishness and even call for contention and beg for strokes. So in his wisdom, Solomon then teaches us whether to speak or to not speak to a fool. And so I want you to take your outlines quickly, and I want to take the scripture and answer four necessary questions to clarify, okay, when should we speak and when we should not speak? By the way, I always, always, always have a problem with when to speak and when not to speak. Now, there's probably nobody else in here that does that, but I do. I'm always like, should I say something? Should I not say something? And then when I do say something, I'm like, oh, I should have never said that, and I didn't say it the right way, and I should have done it a different time, or I should have done it in a better way. I shouldn't have been so quick. And so this is just part of the study that God put on my heart about when and or if even to address this individual who is obviously speaking things that are affecting others and in a manner that's not trustworthy to the truth. And so let's answer this. Let's just see what the Bible says. I think the Bible teaches us specifically, first of all, when to speak. When to speak. By the answer not a fool according to his folly and answer a fool according to his folly, it teaches us exactly when we're supposed to speak. Every wise man must be directed in how to deal with the foolish, and never more than in dealing with when to keep silent and when to speak, because there will be time for both. Now think about this. Turn in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 18, and I want to give you a Bible illustration, which I think are always the best. When the men of Hezekiah answered not a word to the blasphemies of Rabshakeh, they obeyed the first of these instructions, and that is found in verse 4 of Proverbs 26. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Now when Hezekiah's men were doing their work, this general came and tried to put doubt in everybody's mind. And this is what he was saying in 2 Kings 18 and verse 33. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all this land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Now look, the whole point of this fool is to get people to doubt. The whole point of this fool is to get into the minds of those that were supposed to be living by faith, and it's affecting them. And this is the first admonition. The Bible continues in verse 34. Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord or Jehovah should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? You see, now he's likening the Lord Jehovah to all of these pagan idols. And he's saying, look, the God of Israel is not powerful enough to deliver you because he's just like all of these other people. And if it didn't save this country, you're foolish to think it's going to save you. Verse 36, the Bible says, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word. Why? Notice the last part. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not a word. Now, I could safely say that every person that listened to King Hezekiah that said, don't answer this fool, listened to the wise. So they were not foolish. They were not going to allow this fool to affect them, lest they be like him, lest they be acting like an unbeliever, lest their faith fail of the grace of God. So the first admonition we see, and yet in Nehemiah chapter 6, when Nehemiah replied so brutally to the wretched pretensions of Sanballat, he acted according to the second admonition when he said, then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. So Sanballat is trying to discourage and is trying to say things, but it's not just about the discouragement. He's completely going against the truth. And in his own conceitedness, the Bible tells us that Nehemiah answered him directly, but not in the same manner. He just addressed the truth of the matter. So we learn by these two illustrations the proof of these texts. So when are we to speak? Letter A, when others are being affected. When other people are being affected by the nonsense or the non-truth, the Bible says we should speak. Galatians 5 and verse 7, Paul spoke to the whole church. He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. So apparently, there was some foolish discourses that were causing people to err in the church of Galatia. Galatians 4 and verse 16, by the way, he said to them, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. So we learn very carefully, first of all, when to speak, that is when others would be infected. Secondly, let me encourage you, speak by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Speak by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not by your gut, not by your emotion, but by the Holy Spirit. James chapter 1 is one that I tend to pray more oft. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be of first kinds of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be, look, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of whom? Of God. So here's what I've learned. I found that whatever is spoken in haste is normally spoken in the flesh. James says very carefully, by the inspiration of the Spirit, be slow to speak. He says, be slow to wrath, but be swift to hear. Why? Because normally a hasty reaction is the wrong reaction. So when am I to speak? If a fool decides to start saying things at work and he starts blaspheming God or he starts running down this person or running down that person, when am I to speak? Well, certainly when it is affecting others. especially those that are in need of salvation and or the faith of a brother in Christ, when it's affecting others, but always by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, I think the Bible teaches us how to speak. How to speak. If you go back to your text in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, and then notice, lest thou also be like unto him." I think the Bible teaches how to speak, first of all, letter A, without a foolish manner. Lest thou be like him. To answer a fool in the same scoffing and egotistical spirit that he manifests, lesson would be to sink to his level. We're supposed to be acting like people who've been with Jesus. We're supposed to be acting not like James and John. Would thou that we call down fire to destroy this whole village? You know not spirit that you are. Jesus knew what was in all men. And for that reason, he really couldn't trust all of them with all the information. So, I like what Matthew Henry said about this. If the fool boast of himself, do not answer him by boasting of thyself. If he rail and talk passionately, I think you have this in your notes, do not thou rail and talk passionately too. If he tell one great lie, do not tell another to match it. If he culminate thy friends, do not thou culminate his. If he banter, do not answer him in his own language, lest thou be like him, even thou who knowest better things, who hast more sense, and hast been better taught. You could also probably add there in your own words, who also has been given more grace. See, if God has saved us, he's not saved us to be foolish. So certainly it would be foolish to take up a conversation in the same manner that it's presented, lest thou be like him. So we know even how to speak without a foolish manner. Secondly, the Bible teaches us to speak in the love of Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So I will tell you the reason why. You know what the motive is? Because God loves foolish people. He does. You know how I know that? Because he loves me. And he loves you. And we were the biggest fools. Remember when we were enmity with Christ? Remember when we didn't even want to follow him, and we didn't even want to, and yet he loved us and he wooed us by the Spirit of God? Then we got saved. Well, let me ask you a question. How many Christians do you know that are foolish? We've been given more grace. We have been given far more grace and far more mercy. And that doesn't give us the right to act not in that way. The goal is to glorify God by his Spirit, controlling the vessel of the truth so as not to taint the truth. So it tells us not just when to speak and how to speak. Thirdly, it tells us what to speak. What should we be speaking? Well, to allow foolish and unlearned statements to go unchallenged without rebuttal will but strengthen the fool in his self-assurance and conceit. Notice verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own, what's the next one? Conceit in his own eyes. That's what the word is. In his own mind, if I'm going to speak and no one rebuffs what I'm saying, and that means that what I'm saying is truth, and they're not going to say anything, it just builds his own conceit. He raises up the thinking that there is no other truth but his. So what are we to speak? Well, because this tears down truth, everything that he's saying, we must speak the truth, letter A. We must speak it. Why? To expose the shallowness, to expose sin, to expose ignorance. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I find it interesting that connected to those verses are two others that I know are connected. Be ye angry and sin not, lest the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. It's all tied to the truth speaking in love when folly is involved. And you can always tell a fool by whether they're willing to receive instruction. By the way, reproofs are the ways of life. And we've looked at that before. So what are we to speak? Always the truth. Someone said to me this week, it's the truth. And when I speak the truth, it's always better because I don't have to remember what lie I told. I said, you're right. It's always better to speak the truth because I don't have to remember what I said and how I said it. I don't have to remember what the context is, what I said it, because it's just the truth. I don't have to worry about changing the story. We need to speak the truth. Secondly, we need to speak the wisdom of God. In back in chapter 23 in verse 9, specifically, it says the wisdom of thy words. And we've already quantified that the only wisdom that I possibly could give anybody, it's not from good old Kyle that just knows how to do this and this is just the way life is. It's about what the Word of God says. That's the most precious thing in all of the world according to God. And by the way, I don't have to defend God. And I'm not gonna. You may not think that the Bible is that important. You may think that your word is more important or someone else's, but it's the Bible that's going to last forever, Jesus said. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. 1 Kings chapter 3, I love this passage. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. That's why we've got to speak it. But listen, you can't speak it if you don't know it. Thy word have I hid in my heart. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So if God's given it to us, he's looking for the vessel that he cannot just fill with it, but someone who is discerning enough to share it at the proper time. So God says, listen, I will guide you into all truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. I will help you if you'll yield to me when to speak and how to speak and what to speak. In the event that you really need to speak, I will give you what you should say. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, look, when you're brought before council, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll tell you what you're going to say. In that moment, Jesus said, I will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've taught you. And so he helps us with all of that. Now, the fourth thing I want you to consider is, why should we speak? What's the big deal? Most people would just let a fool go to his folly and would just let someone talk, and it doesn't matter what's being said, and it doesn't matter how it's being said. Why should we speak? Well, because we live in a society void of truth. That's why. The fool has already said in his heart that there is no God, and when people like our government officials, when people like our state officials or even local officials or people that you may be related to are going to speak against truth and start to gather a crowd and start to affect others and start to make it make what is not a truth but the truth less significant, then I think we're responsible for standing up for the truth and to speak it under the guise of Scripture. Hosea 4 tells us, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now you have to ask yourself, why would God, through a preacher, have to say that to the people of God? Because they weren't saying it. They weren't living the truth. They weren't speaking the truth. They weren't standing for the truth. And God says, because of that, I've got a problem with the inhabitants of the land. You're the inhabitants of the land. God says through his preacher, look, you, I have a problem with you because there is no truth. So why should we speak? Two things and we're done. First of all, for the sake of the truth. If the truth is what makes us free, and when we live and abide it, and it abides in us and makes us free indeed, then we have an obligation to speak it for the sake of the truth. Isaiah 59 verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. There was no discernment. Why? Because they had just let it fall in the street, which is where they walked every day, which is where they talked every day, which where they had an opportunity to make a difference. But they didn't, and it displeased the Lord. We should speak for the sake of the truth. Secondly, we should speak for the sake of others. For the sake of others, I will guarantee you for every individual that you decide is worthy for you to talk to about the gospel, that there are probably 10 or more voices that are telling him the opposite. There are more people that are spreading the lie than there is the truth, whether they're of another religion or whether they're just simply agnostic or atheist. They are more willing to champion their view and their own way rather than the gospel. For the sake of others, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And then he says this, I speak this to your shame. Wow. Here's the church caught up with divisions, and I'm better than you are, and he's better than you are, and all of this just division and carnal behavior and prideful mindset. And Paul brings them back to center and says, hey, listen, I just want you to understand all this is going on, evil communications are going on, and it's affecting others. Not all people, he says, have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. Why? Because they're simply not speaking of truth. They're not willing to bring up the gospel. Fools may despise reproof, wisdom, and instruction, but there are others who will receive it. There are others that we could greatly affect with the truth. For them, we must be then filled with the Spirit and obtain God's wisdom as to when, how, and what to speak when the fool is raging. So let's review these two verses again in 26 and verses 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So the manner that he's addressing and all of the antics and all of the emotion and all that, you don't have to repeat it back. You don't have to be answering him in his own manner, because that would bring you to his level. And yet the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Though the previous two chapters before in 23:9 says he'll despise what you're saying, it's not him that God is more interested in at that point than it is the truth that's being said. He may despise it, but for the sake of those that are hearing it and being unrighteously affected, you need to speak it. The gospel, the wisdom of God, is the power of God unto salvation. I find it interesting that in all this, God ordains what he characterizes, and he uses a tremendous adjective really to help humble us. That is, he uses the foolishness of preaching. The wisdom of God is brought through the foolishness of preaching. I've tried to wrap my mind around that, but I can't do it. I just can't. Except to think that in all that I could possibly do compared to the wisdom of God is foolishness. My greatest wisdom is still foolishness compared to God and all that he has for us. Well, to speak or not to speak, I suppose, is not the question. It is how, when, why, and what should we speak to the fool? And if you decide to come across somebody and you think, man, somebody should say something, the Lord may have that person to be you. But before you do, make sure that you're listening to him. Make sure that you're prepared in your heart and you're not answering him according to his foolishness, lest thou be like him. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the simple lessons. It's the simple truths, Lord, that we often miss. And God, I thank you for the precious Holy Spirit of God, and I thank you for the truth. I thank you for giving us a fellowship of truth. And I thank you for faith. I thank you that we can trust you in all things. And Father, when we come into the company of a fool, those individuals that have decided to do their own thing, their own way, Lord, even speaking against the wisdom of God, I pray that you would give us wisdom and help us to be led by the Spirit as to how and when and what and why we should speak. I pray that you be glorified in our speech. I pray that you'd help us to mark our words. They will be our judge one day. And I pray, God, that you'll be glorified in all of it. I thank you for our Bible study tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just stand together for a moment and offer some prayer to the Lord about what we've talked about tonight, and ask the Lord, Lord, is there something that I need to say? Will you govern me in how to say it and when to say it and why to say it?